Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Hahn, and I want to welcome you to The Road to Emmaus, a podcast from the St. Paul Center. My brand new book, Hope to Die, The Christian Meaning of Death and the Resurrection of the Body, is now available at stpaulcenter.com. That's stpaulcenter.com. I do hope that everyone will get a chance to read this book and reflect on the Christian meaning of death and the virtue of hope, especially in this season of grace and crisis.
I want to just stop for a moment and reflect with you on the significance of Holy Thursday. Looking back on my days as a Protestant, we called it Maundy Thursday. We didn't know why, but there was a mandatum, a mandate of sorts that came from the Lord. We knew it had to do with the Lord's Supper, but we didn't see it quite the same way as I do now as a Catholic. For us, it was a kind of farewell meal. Okay, in the context of the sacred Passover of the ancient Jews, but it wasn't really anything more than the institution of the Eucharist as sacrament, but really as an even more sacred meal. But in fact, Holy Thursday is for all Christians, whether they know it or not, and especially for us as Catholics who do know it. It is the font of the Paschal mystery. It is the origin of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If in fact it is just a meal that Jesus is celebrating on Holy Thursday, then it's just a Roman execution that happened on Good Friday. But if in fact on Holy Thursday, He is not just celebrating the Passover one last time, but fulfilling it as the true Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, then it is more than a meal, because the Passover in the Old Covenant was more than a meal. The Passover was, of course, a sacrifice first and foremost. You could just ask any lamb, if he could talk, he would tell you it's more than a meal. But the meal aspect was really the sacrificial communion upon the sacrificial victim. And if that was true in the old, it isn't less true in the new. No, what Jesus was doing on Holy Thursday, celebrating the Passover, fulfilling it as the Lamb of God, was transforming a sacrifice of irrational animals who had their throats slashed and their bodies roasted into something truly sacred, and a profound mystery at that. For what he instituted in the Holy Eucharist was the Passover of the New Covenant, with him as not only the Lamb, but the High Priest and the altar. This alone makes sense out of the words of consecration, which we've heard all of our lives, when he takes that bread, the unleavened bread of the Passover, and speaks those solemn words, "Take this and eat of it. This is my body, which is given for you." And then later, at the end of the supper, when he takes the chalice and he speaks those sacred words of consecration, this is more than rhetoric. It's more than just a ritual embellishment added to the old Passover. This is precisely how he transforms the Passover of the old into the Passover of the new. This is where his sacrifice begins. This is where his own self-offering originates. It's more than rhetoric. It's more than ritual. There is a reality that is truly mysterious, but real and true. And this alone is what illuminates what happened to him on the next day at Calvary on Good Friday, where it looked as though he was nothing more than the hapless victim of Roman injustice and violence in this gruesome execution that occurs in the crucifixion. No, if what he said was more than words, then what he did on Holy Thursday was to commence the offering up of his own body and the outpouring of his own blood. And then on Good Friday, his execution is transformed into a sacrifice, one so holy that it retired all of the animals that had been offered on the altar there in the Jerusalem temple. This was proof that he was not losing his life on Friday because he had freely laid it down out of love for us on Holy Thursday, that he wasn't the victim of Roman violence at Calvary. He was the victim of divine love and mercy in the upper room on Holy Thursday. And so if Holy Thursday, if the Eucharist that he institutes is just a meal, then Calvary is just a Roman execution. But if in fact the Eucharist that he institutes on Holy Thursday is the sacrifice of the Passover of the New Covenant, it can't be just a meal, or it wouldn't even rise to the level of a Passover. It's the new Passover. It's precisely where he lays down his life out of love for us. And then the proof of that is the following day, on Good Friday, at Calvary, when that body is given up, where the blood is poured out. And so, in fact, the Eucharist is what transformed that execution into the supreme and holy sacrifice, the holiest of all. And likewise, Easter Sunday is what transforms that sacrifice into the blessed sacrament that we now celebrate, because his body is no longer in the upper room. It's no longer hanging on the cross. It's no longer buried in the tomb. The body of Christ is raised from the dead, and the Eucharistic body of Christ is the resurrected body of Christ. This is the Triduum. This is the Paschal mystery. It's Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. It is the memorial of his death and resurrection. The memorial is what is instituted on Holy Thursday. The crucifixion, of course, his passion and death is Good Friday, but his resurrection is what we all prepare to celebrate on Easter Sunday. This is one and the same mystery, three aspects of his own sacrifice. As we enter into the mystery of Holy Saturday, it doesn't seem to have the same significance as Holy Thursday or Good Friday or Easter Sunday. And yet it does. It has a very sacred meaning that the early church grasped. And one of the greatest sources for understanding the mystery of Holy Saturday is in this anonymous sermon that we find from the second century. I'd like to share it with you. What is happening? Today, there is a great silence over the earth, a great silence and stillness, a great silence because the king sleeps. The earth was in terror and was still, because God slept in the flesh and raised up those who were sleeping from the ages. God has died in the flesh, and the underworld has trembled. Truly, he goes to seek out our first parent. Like a lost sheep, he wishes to visit those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He goes to free the prisoner Adam and his fellow prisoner Eve from their pains, he who is God and Adam's son. The Lord goes into them, holding his victorious weapon, his cross. When Adam, the first created man, sees him, he strikes his breast in terror and calls out to all, "My Lord be with you all." And Christ in reply says to Adam, "And with your spirit." And grasping his hand, he raises them up, saying, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. I am your God, who for your sake became your son, who for you and your descendants now speak and command with authority those in prison. Come forth, and those in darkness have light, and those who sleep arise. I command you, awake, sleeper. I have not made you to be held a prisoner in the underworld. Arise from the dead. I am the life of the dead. Arise, O man, work of my hands, arise. You who were fashioned in my image, rise, let us go hence. For you and me, and I and you, together we are one undivided person. For you, I your God became your son. For you, I the master took on your form, that of slave. For you, I who am above the heavens came on earth and under the earth. For you, man, I became as a man without help, free among the dead. For you who left a garden, I was handed over to Jews from a garden and crucified in a garden. Look at the spittle on my face, which I received because of you, in order to restore you to that first divine inbreathing at creation. See the blows on my cheeks, which I accepted in order to refashion your distorted form to my own image. See the scourging of my back, which I accepted in order to disperse the load of your sins, which was laid upon your back. See my hands nailed to the tree for a good purpose, for you, who stretched out your hand to the tree for an evil one. I slept on the cross, and a sword pierced my side, for you, who slept in paradise and brought forth Eve from your side. My side healed the pain of your side. My sleep will release you from your sleep in Hades. My sword has checked the sword which was turned against you. But arise, let us go hence. The enemy brought you out of the land of paradise. I will reinstate you, no longer in paradise, but on the throne of heaven. I denied you the tree of life, which was a figure, but now I myself am united to you, I who am life. I posted the cherubim to guard you as they would slaves. Now I make the cherubim worship you as they would God. The cherubim throne has been prepared. The bearers are ready and waiting. The bridal chamber is in order. The food is provided. The everlasting houses and rooms are in readiness. The treasures of good things have been opened. The kingdom of heaven has been prepared before the ages. How do we respond to such sacred mysteries as these? This is one and the same mystery, but what a glorious discovery it was for me and all of the other convert friends of mine. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, all of us are converts. All of us are converted through these sacred mysteries in the Triduum. And there is no better time than now in this great crisis where we are literally deprived of being physically present there at the Holy Thursday Mass, at the Good Friday celebration, at the Easter Sunday. And for me, the most painful part of it is to miss out on the Easter Vigil on Saturday evening. But, you know, in a sense, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And so for us, we are presented with a challenge, but also a divine opportunity for our faith to rise to the level of rediscovering, reappropriating, and renewing our thankfulness. Because even at a distance, Christ is our high priest in heaven. And even at a distance, our parish priest is the human figure that Christ is using on earth to renew this covenant. We are called together to enter into a mystery that goes beyond our wildest dreams, our highest hopes. And so on Holy Thursday, let's take God at his word, the word inspired in sacred scripture, to rediscover how the new fulfills the old in a way that is just like new wine bursting old wineskins. And at the same time, to connect not only the Old and New Testaments, but to connect sacred scripture with the Holy Eucharist. For it wasn't just the Holy Eucharist that he instituted as a sacrament on Holy Thursday in the upper room. It's also holy orders. It was when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," because what he had just done in offering the Eucharist was the work of our high priest. But what he did by saying, do this in remembrance of me, in effect, is the fulfillment of the priesthood of the old by the high priest of the new, passing along to the 12 apostles this power to participate in his own sacrifice. This is the Eucharist. Doing this in remembrance is the sacrament of holy orders. And so, in effect, that word remembrance, anamnesis, is more than just recalling a past event. Anamnesis is the Greek term that translates the Hebrew zikaron, which was the memorial offering. The sacrifice of Christ is precisely what these men were empowered by the Holy Spirit to do in the sacrifice of the Mass. And so we look to see the Holy Eucharist and Holy Orders. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, with two sons of mine in the seminary preparing to receive the sacrament of Holy Orders, this means more to me now than ever before. But frankly, just how meaningful the Holy Eucharist and Holy Orders are both for all of us has got to take on new meaning, because even though we are somewhat distant from our priests on earth, watching, as it were, you know, on TV or the internet, we are even more distant from our high priest who is in heaven, and yet he is with us always to the close of the age. The real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, in our tabernacles, and what we look forward to as we receive him once again in Holy Communion on our tongues, this is that for which we were made. This is that by which we were redeemed. And so this constitutes our hope. And so as we draw into the sacred mysteries of Holy Thursday, let's ask our Father in the name of Jesus to send the power of the Holy Spirit to increase our faith, hope, and love. Please be assured of our prayers here at the Center. Please remember us in yours. God bless you.
The Road to Emmaus is a production of the St. Paul Center. To learn more about this episode, visit our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road. Our production team includes technical director and engineer Beckett Gitto and associate producers Melissa Gerard and Molly Trainer. Our sound mixer and editor is Philip Buss. Our host is Dr. Scott Hahn. Be sure to subscribe to and rate The Road to Emmaus wherever you find this podcast. The St. Paul Center is a nonprofit organization facilitating life-changing encounters with the living Word of God. To learn more, visit stpaulcenter.com.
Teachings for an Unbelievable World is a newly discovered work written by St. John Paul II, then Archbishop Karol Wojtyła of Krakow, in the years just after Vatican II. This is the first English language publication of this important work. In this hardcover book that Scott Hahn calls one of the greatest hidden treasures unearthed in our time, 13 brief homilies provide compelling teaching for Catholics in today's post-Christian world and give fresh insights into JP2's pontificate. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code JP2Teachings, that's JPIIteachings, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.